I'll get the rest. I'll get the rest. You have your Bibles, open them to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. Then I want you to also open to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. While you turn, let me express our gratitude, our appreciation for all of the fabricated things that were just said by my father, and appreciate our relationship, our friendship to this church, to you, and to your pastor as well. What is encouraging about the few years we have been coming, 20 plus years, that there are several that are still coming. And some that aren't here aren't because they're gone somewhere else, but either they can no longer get out or they're in heaven. And some have had to move away. But it sure is encouraging to be able to see God's people still serving the Lord right where they were at. I know jobs and so on and so forth, health reasons cause us to have to leave, but it sure is good to see those that are still here. That speaks a lot about you as well as the church and all that goes on here. Romans chapter 5, and then I want us to read first our verse in 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. Read verse number 11. The Word of God says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all." We derive from that that God is great. Not only is He great, He's greater than anything. He's exalted above all. And that has been our thought this week, is God's greatness. How that God is greater. He's greater. We looked in fear, greater than bitterness, greater than our weakness, greater than our doubt. And this morning I want us to look at this Romans chapter 5. I want us to read just a few verses here in the book of Romans. Go with me to verse number 12, if you will. Romans 5, verse number 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Our text verse is verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, so even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You have to be very cautious when you read these verses. It's quite wordy, isn't it? But what it all said, if we were to put it in our own words, is one man's sin and we're all in a mess. And one man came, Jesus Christ, and now salvation is offered to all. We've been looking at God's greatness. And I understand that it's impossible for us to see all of His greatness. And it's impossible for us to define and to declare all of God's greatness. Eternity is not long enough to do that. But we've just been nibbling on the edges, like a little mouse nibbling on a large block of cheese. This morning I want us to look at God is greater than sin. God is greater than sin. And you look at the world that we're living in today, men, they acclaim greatness. They say they're great, and you find it in about every genre, avenue of life. Find it a lot in our political world. We have been bombarded with, as the old timer called them, advertisements. The advertisements of politicians. How that they can solve this problem. And they remind me of the Wizard of Oz there behind. And they said, never mind that man behind the curtain. Don't worry about me, but that guy up there, he can't do it. But we can do it. Then you get in the athletic world. My, there's a lot of people that claim the greatest. They even have an acronym, GOAT, greatest of all time. Well, they have statistics they made and they benchmarks they cross, but they're not edged in stone. They're written in sand. Because it won't be long till someone will come along and will achieve things greater in that profession are in that sports. And then you find it in a larger setting in the world leaders. World leaders throughout our world and lifetime has claimed greatness. And there now, some of them, they're silent in their graves. And those that are still amongst us one day will be silent in their graves. The truth of the matter is there's none that can rightly say they are the greatest of all. But our God is. God is great. And He's not great because we say He's great. And He's not great because many follow Him. He's not great because we've held Him up in greatness. God is great because He sustains Himself. He is God above all. And we read these verses this morning about this matter of one man's sin. And I want us just to have, I only have 2 points this morning. But there are some points under those points. I shook hands one time and I usually tell how many points I have. It's just a habit. And I mentioned how many points I had and there were maybe two or three at the time. And this lady very seriously and sincerely said, "You said you only had 3 points, but I wrote down about 15. And I said, "Well, I have to make everybody, it's a matter of their mind, I have to give them good hope that there's only 3 points. You found my secret." But there are only 2 main points this morning. Number one, I want us to look at what I would call the awfulness of sin. The awfulness of sin. The world that we live in today, they have downplayed sin. They've called sin a sickness. They've called sin just a lifestyle. They've called sin a progressive world thinking. They called it, we've evolved. No longer is it just applicable for a theory being taught, but it's even that word evolved is used in political realm. It's used in a moral realm today. We've evolved. There's all different words that they want to polish up sin. I'm going to tell you tonight, sin, or this morning, sin is awful. Let me give you four reasons why sin is awful. Number one, sin is awful because of the reach that it has. In our reading that we read in verse number 12, it said that sin is on the whole world. All men have sinned. Now, wouldn't it be nice this morning if there was a place we could go where there was no sin? Wouldn't it be good if we could live in a world where we could leave our doors unlocked, we could leave our valuables exposed, we could leave our children, just let them romp and play, the little children especially, we could let them just go anywhere over the neighborhood they wanted to go in any home they wanted to go in, and be around anybody in the neighborhood that they wanted to be around. We had no fear at all that they would be harmed because there was no sin. I remember preaching a revival in the mountains of West Virginia. Don't they call it almost heaven? I found out why that word almost is essential. We were in a hotel room and parked my van there. I remember it distinctively because it was so crowded that we barely could squeeze in between the cars. Parked it after church that night, went into the room the next morning. The kids were, we didn't have one, our youngest child, maybe we did, but they were very young, little kids at the time and doing homeschool even then. And they were getting things going for the day and I wanted to go and read my Bible and So it wasn't as quiet in the rooms then as it is now. So I went out to the van, and the closer I got, the more I realized that window's really clean. And I got to that window and it was shattered. Been broken into. My little daughter at the time, Olivia, she was little, she left her little baby doll purse out there. And they assumed that it was a real purse. And the only humor I got out of it is realizing that, man, they were really mistaken. I'm glad that's what they got. That's just the world we live in. We live in a world where sin is everywhere. I am researching, I've read, and whether the statistic is up to date, as prevalent as today, but I read that people spend over $2 trillion a year on security. I mean, people, they uproot their family from big cities to come to rural areas because the cities are so crime infested, and they come out to the rural areas, they find out that there's sin there too. They leave from these states of high crime and these places of high crime, and they go out to the more recluse places and the more vacation places, and they think if we can just get away from this place, we can find an oasis, but they go out there and they find that there's sin there too. You see, there is no place on this earth that we can go where there is not sin. I'm telling you this morning that sin is in our homes. Sin is in our schools. Sin is in our politics. Sin is in our churches. Sin is in our shopping malls. Sin is in our grocery stores. Sin is in our hospitals, prisons, our courthouses. It's at our lakes, on our beaches, in the mountains, on the television, on our radios, on our computers, on our phones. It's even in our bodies. I tell you what makes sin so bad is you can't run from it. It's everywhere you go. You leave this place this morning, you'll enter into a world that's full of sin. And I hate to say it, but even in the four walls of this church, there's no telling at this point right now what our minds are even thinking. There's just no place you can run from sin. It's everywhere. The reach that it has. I'm telling you, it crosses every nationality. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Not only the reach that it has makes sin so awful, but the ruin that it brings. I tell you what makes sin so terrible is it brings ruin. The Word of God said in verse number 14 of this chapter that we read in Romans, it says, death reigned upon all men. Death reigned. Those two words coupled together don't bring any hope at all. It would have been so nice if we could say life reigned. But you never hear life, my dear friend, ever associated with sin. If you take the word life or live, and you spell the word live backwards, you get the word evil. You spell the word lived backwards, you get the word devil. And that's exactly what your life will be like if you live it outside of God. It will bring no one pleasure but the devil. It won't bring you pleasure. It won't bring your spouse pleasure. It won't bring your children pleasure. It won't bring your parents pleasure. It won't bring the church pleasure. And it won't bring God pleasure. Life, I'm saying it brings ruin. That's why I hate sin so bad. That's why I believe you ought to preach against sin. That's why we ought to keep our guard to get up against sin. Because I'm telling you this morning, it don't bring anybody any joy for any length of time. It's just a small season. Sin never fixes anything. Sin never makes anything better. Sin never restores. It never rebuilds. It only ruins. I'm saying to you this morning that sin has been known to go into a young lady's life, that young lady that was promised him. She had all the joy of the future, and they allowed sin in their life, and sin ruined that future. Sin walked into the life of young men that had great potential. Great potential, and sin got into their mind and in their heart and into their habits, and it ruined that future. Sin, we've all seen it. We've seen sin creep up through the window and walk into the home, slither into the family. That sweet, nice family that maybe one day used to come into the church of God, and sin got into their home and it ruined that family. It took away that harmony and joy. Sin's walked into a God-fearing nation and turned their hearts against God and made them heathens. Sin, sad to say, sin has come into a God-honoring, fearing church and sown seeds of sinful discord and left them maybe a house full, but it was nothing but sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. The next chapter, chapter 6 and verse 12 of Romans, let not sin therefore what? Reign in your mortal bodies. That's what sin does. Sin never coexists, it always reigns. That's why the liquor industry is so wealthy. That's why the pornography never declares bankruptcy. That's why the drugs never decrease. Because one look won't satisfy, one sip won't satisfy, one draw from that marijuana won't satisfy. I'm telling you this morning that the gambler, he thinks he'll just try it just one time. But sin, my dear friend, it reigns in our bodies if we allow it to get in. It brings ruin. It brings ruin. My, I hate sin this morning because of the ruin that it brings. My, how awful sin is. I'm sure you can look at it in family members' lives. Maybe you even look at it in your own life. If you examine yourself close enough, you see sin, how it's ruined in your own life. The awfulness of sin, not only the reach that it has and the ruin that it brings, but the results that it gives. In verse number 18 says, therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to what? To condemnation. That act, condemnation means the act of condemning, judicial act of declaring one guilty and dooming him to punishment. That's what Noah Webster said that word condemnation means. You see, the results that sin brings, though the Word of God does say, though sin may have pleasure in it for a season, eventually that time will be ended. The results of sin is eternity in hell without Christ. You see, if you and I, those who are not saved, can I say it that way? If you allow sin to continue to reign in your body, if you never come to Christ for forgiveness of sin, there's not but one end. There's no such thing as a middle ground. Religion calls it all types of names, but I'm telling you, there's not but two ends on this road of life. The Lord called it road. He said there was a broad road, and He said there was a narrow road. He said on the narrow road it's life. Can I say it this way? Life in heaven. But on the broad road, the sin road, it's death. It's eternity in hell. It's punishment forever and forever. I tell you what makes sin so bad. I tell you why we ought to hate sin so much. Is sin is leading people to hell. That ultimate punishment. There's an old Puritan by the name of Ralph Venning, V-E-N-N-I-N-G. He wrote this in his book. Hell is the greatest punishment which God inflicts. It's the uttermost of God's wrath and vengeance. The end of the road of sin is life of torment, of tragedy, of heartache, of pain, of loneliness, of regret, of fear and anxiety, of misery. That's the end of sin, the results of it. This world today, they're going to, we say it this way, the hell in a handbasket. And I tell you, they're going today being led and pulled by sin. It's punishment without pity. Hell is misery without mercy. Hell is sorrow without sympathy. Hell is crying without comfort. Hell is torment without ease. Old Ralph Benning in that book, The Sinlessness of Sin, he said, the unsaved can look for no relief from God in hell, for God judged him and condemned him. He can look for no relief in conscience, for that accuses him and upbraids him. No relief from devils, for they torment him. No relief from hope, for that is departed from him. None from time, for his state is forever. It's a state of all misery and no consolation. Not so much as a little drop of water to cool his tongue. It is misery, more misery, nothing but misery. Just as sin is all sin and nothing but sin. I tell you what makes sin so awful is it leads men and women, boys and girls to eternity in hell. I'm telling you this morning, you can go on if you're lost without Christ and enjoy that sin and indulge in that sin. But I'm telling you this morning, there's going to come a day, unless you correct yourself according to the Word of God, that these sermons from the preacher and from you, from me this morning, they'll ring in your ears throughout all of eternity. And you'll say, that sin wasn't worth it. It ruins people. It reigns in people. The results of it is eternity in hell. Awfulness of sin. Conclude, the awfulness of sin is the resistance that it has. The resistance. We've just hopefully have come through the corona craze. And you know that they had all of these theories of health. Do this, that, and the other. And some people, they took precautions various ways. But I just read or heard them say that the majority of the people were passing away, and I'm not trying to be, this is nothing about the virus, this is a comparison. They said the majority of people passing away are the vaccinated. Have you been vaccinated? I'm not here misery and doom telling you. I'm just saying this truth is this. They have not found anything that can that the COVID virus can be restrained from. They may be able to do it. They may be able to go into their labs and find something that can fight this virus. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that can fight the virus of sin. You say, oh, I'll just come to church and that'll fix it. That won't fix it. I'll just be a good neighbor and that'll fix it. That won't fix it. I'll just start treating people a lot better and that'll fix it. Tell you what I'll do. I'll read my Bible. I'll join the church. I'll be a good neighbor. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll try to be more religious. I'm going to tell you, none of that will be able to defeat the furious virus of sin. I mean, my dear friend, we're like sitting ducks on the pond with their wings clipped. There's nothing we can do. We're in a mess with sin. Sin reigns on all people. That's the thing about sin. It's in every one of us. The awfulness of sin. Well, that would be terrible if we had to conclude with that, wouldn't it? But I want you to notice, secondly, the answer to sin. Can I say it this way? The antidote for sin. Notice what the Word of God says in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered and the offense might abound. But where what? Sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Those two words, much more, are found five times in Romans chapter 5. We read three of them, if I'm not mistaken, this morning. But the last one, I don't want to say is the best one, but I enjoy it best. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I'm telling you this morning, sin, as I've already mentioned it, it's destroyed our homes, it's destroyed our families, it's destroyed our churches, our nations. And men have thrown all types of solutions to fix sin. They've thrown education to it. They've thrown pleasure at it. They've thrown politicians at it. Medication, entertainment, amusement. They've even thrown religion at this problem of sin. And they found there is no remedy. Nothing will work. Nothing can fix. I mean, listen, our society, I hate to burst your bubble, but our society is not getting better. People are not living more moral. People are not more honest than they used to be. People are not better citizens. Crime is not going down. Families are not getting stronger. It's getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. And I'm telling you, the reason it's getting worse is because they're going to the answer in all the wrong places. But thank God, you and I that are saved this morning, we've met the answer to sin. The answer to sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sin may be terrible, and it is. Our sin may ruin, and it does. Our sin may wreck, and it has. But thank God this morning, there's one, there's only one that's greater than sin, and it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't matter what sin you may have this morning. It don't matter how sin has ruined your life this morning. It's irrelevant how sin is wrecking your mind and destroying your honesty and integrity. I'm glad to tell you there's somebody that can fix that problem. problem, and that's God. The Lord can fix it. You admit you have the problem. Come to Him for the answer. He can fix it. All the weight of sin and the hardness of sin, nobody can find any relief. But Jesus is the relief. He's greater. Where sin did abound, God's grace did much more abound. God's greater than our sin. Can I tell you this morning, the answer to the problem in our life is not in our money. It's not in our religion. It's not in our effort. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what Paul told the church of Ephesus. He's higher than the highest, and He's greater than the great. Sin may have you in the depths of despair, but thank God there's one that's greater that can lift you up. There was a man by the name of Charles Finney. Charles Finney was a preacher in, I guess, the late 1800s, something around there, early 1900s. He was noted for preaching a lot of revival meetings, seeing the Lord do a great work through his ministry. He preached in Detroit. And he preached in Detroit. A man after the service walked up to him and asked him if he would be kind enough to do him a favor. Ask him if he would go with him to his house. He wanted to talk to him. And this preacher, Charles Finney, said, I will. He said, I have to go in and tie up some loose ends and then we can go. And he went inside and they began to inquire who he was speaking to. They saw him talking to that man. They wanted to know what he was wanting. He said he wanted me to go to his home. And the men that he was talking to said, oh, preacher, don't go there. You don't want to go with that man. He's a bad man. You don't. And he said, I have to go. I told him I would go and I'm going to go. So he went. They walked down a few blocks to the man's house, or rather with the man, and turned down an alley and went into a business. This business was on the wrong side of town. It was a bar. The man owned the bar, Brother Finney found out later, and when he walked in, he locked the door behind them, and he pulled out a revolver. And he looked at Brother Finney and he said, now don't worry, I'm not going to harm you. He said, but I have a question for you. He said, I want to ask you, do you believe what you said tonight? And Brother Finney said, well, like most preachers, I said a lot. He said, what are you referring to? He said, but I do believe, unless I misspoke, I believe everything I say. I believe it's out of the Word of God. He said, well, you made a statement this evening, and I want to ask you if it's true. He said, well, what is that statement you're referring to? He said, you said the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. He said, is that accurate? Do you believe that? He said, absolutely. God said it, and it's so. He said, Mr. Finney, he said, this revolver I'll hold in my hand has been instrumental, in killing four men. He said, and three of those men I did myself. He said, you think there's any hope for me? And Brother Finney said, absolutely. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from that sin. He looked and he said, now you see this bar room? He said, I own this bar. This is my business. He said, in this bar we take men's money and we sell them hard liquor, whiskey, and we sell them alcohol, and we do everything we can to get every penny we can out of them. He said, there's been several times women, wives, and mothers would come in sometimes holding their children and beg us to stop selling their husbands liquor. Said we'd run them out. He said, beyond this bar there's a petition, and in that room there's gambling, there's tables and cards and dice. He said, there's no honest tables, there's no real honest cards, there's no honest dice. And he says, what we can't get out of them, financially in this room, we'll take them back there and we'll squeeze them for every penny we can out of them. He said, on more than one occasion, men have left this place broke and they went out to the railroad track just a few miles away and killed themselves. And I ask you, can God forgive me of that sin? He said, the blood of Jesus Christ, sir, can forgive you and cleanse you of all sin. He said, Mr. Penny, if we opened this door and went down this little alley, your dead end to my home. He said, in my home, there's a little lady by the name of Margaret. I went up to New York. I met this lady many years ago, and I told her I was a honest businessman. Talked her into marrying me, and then after a certain amount of time, I brought her back here, and she realized I was a crooked bar owner. And I lied to her, and he said, we had this little daughter. She's 13 years old, and I've come home drunk several times, and I beat my wife. And he said, just a couple weeks ago, I came home drunk and was beating my wife and angry, and my daughter stepped in between us and I pushed her. My wife had been cooking and there she landed on her arm on that hot stove and she burned her arm severely. He said, are you telling me the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse me of that sin? And he said, Brother Finney, he said, I stopped and I took that man by the shoulders. He said, I shook him. I said, I've never heard a story so awful as I've heard tonight. He said, but I tell you, God said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Charles Finney left. A few days later, that bartender came to church and he told him, he said he went to that bar and broke up all the bar stools, poured out all the liquor, burnt the cards, threw the dice away. He stood in church that night. He and his wife and that little daughter came down, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed him and them of their sin. See, this morning, sin is awful. Sin is terrible. But there's one greater. It's God. The Lord is greater. And if you have someone in your life that's overcome by sin, can I encourage you, don't give up praying, because God is greater than that sin. If you are overcome by sin of lust or alcohol or other vices, can I encourage you this morning, there's one that can take that not just out of your hands, but out of your heart, can make you a new creature. Can salvage your life. Can change who you are. Only God can do that. He's greater. So I encourage you this morning to come to the answer to the problem of sin. Before you get too engrossed in it, I see some of our young people, and I know we live in a world today that sin is so easily accessible. I don't know how much an involvement you may even have in sin at your young age. But can I encourage you this morning, before sin grabs a hold of your heart and squeezes every little bit of good out of you and leaves you as it has for generations on the just a trash heap of humanity, can I encourage you to come down this morning and say, God, this sin's really getting a hold of me. I'm looking and listening and doing things I shouldn't be looking and listening and doing. And I've tried, now I want to get rid of it, but I can't. I'm coming to you this morning asking you to help me. Because I know this sin is great, but I know that you are greater. God is greater than sin. Will you bow your heads with me this morning?